In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are clear.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, well, I guess I need to be facing you for this. Since we're gathered to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism, declared you to be his children, and gathered us all into one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through Jesus, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Your word is a lamp to my feet
and a light to my path.
Forever, O Lord, your word. Your faithfulness endures to all generations.
You have established the earth, and it stands fast.
By your appointment, they stand this day.
For all things are your servants.
If your law had not been my delight,
I would have perished in my affliction.
I will never forget your precepts.
For by them you have given me life.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Your word is a lamp to my feet,
and a light to my path.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, mercy. Lord, have mercy. Be glory and peace to all the earth. Goodwill from God in heaven proclaimed at Jesus' birth. We praise and bless you, Father. Your holy name we sing. Our thanks for your great glory. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, the giver of all that is good, by your holy inspiration, grant that we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding, accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Are you seated? The first reading for today, the sixth Sunday of Easter, also Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all mothers and to all who have mothers. That would be about everybody, wouldn't it? Happy Mother's Day. The first reading is from Acts chapter 17, beginning with verse 16. It includes an incident that happened near Athens in on the Areopagus, which is kind of a place where people would gather to hold debate. While Paul was waiting for them, that is, his traveling missionary companions in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him, and some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities," because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And they took hold of him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is that you're presenting? For you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God in the hope that they might find their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.' Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked. But now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." This is the word of the Lord. Christ has risen from the dead. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands. The epistle reading is from St. Peter's first letter, the third chapter. "Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, 8 persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subject to him. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In our reading, we hear how Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, O Christ.
We confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, being of came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You be seated. Thank you.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I am afraid, think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. And nothing will I fear, long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Oh, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Well, I will not forget your love for me, and yet forever my heart is wandering. Jesus, be my guide, hold me to your side. I will love you till the end. Oh, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon text is the gospel lesson appointed for today, which was read a moment ago, and I think you have it there with you. I think you have a copy of it, right? So you might refer to it as you go through it, as we go through the sermon. But I'll have to warn you that I'm preaching on just the first part of it. I'm not going to explain all the relationship of the Holy Spirit that's involved in this discussion that Jesus presented. I'm really talking mostly about what he said to the disciples when he said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we do love you, but we don't always keep your commandments. Show us when we fail, so that we may seek your forgiveness. Give us the will and the strength to let the world see your love in us, so they may know your comforting presence in their lives. Amen. In the middle of a heated argument with her mother, Mary finally said, "You don't love me. If you loved me, you'd let me go and party with my friends." Yeah, well, we've probably heard something like that before. Maybe we've even said that at one point in our lives or something like it. Finally, the argument deteriorated to the point that Mary walked out the door and slammed it. Yep, that's the way it goes sometimes. And that's the way we often hear these words of our text, in that context, the way we hear them first. If you loved me. If you loved me, Jesus said to his disciples, you would keep my commandments. But Jesus wasn't telling the disciples where they had failed. Jesus was giving them direction, guidance. He He wasn't expressing his displeasure with them. He was simply telling them, this is what people do when they love me. They keep my commandments. Our actions are what show our love. You want to know proof of love? Look at what people do. Don't just listen to what they say, right? That's why Mother's Day is so important in terms of what people do. People don't just say, I love you, Mother. People find things to do. Maybe it's a card, a phone call. Maybe it's a gift. Maybe it's going out to eat. Maybe it's doing some chores around the house. But things that we do show our love. And that's why Jesus said, the proof of your love is in your doing. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. But it's true that even those actions need some interpretation sometimes, because they can be misunderstood. Sometimes we have to explain why we're doing something. One way to do that is with I statements. I don't know if you've heard about I statements. Not this kind of I, but this kind of I. Suppose that Mary had said something like this to her mother. I feel so helpless and estranged, so unsupported. I feel so lost when you won't let me make decisions about going out with my friends. That's a little different than saying, you don't love me. See, that's a you statement. I feel lost and helpless. That explains to her mother how she feels. So actions sometimes need to be explained. In fact, I statements help us understand and clarify how we feel. Mom may have heard that and said, I'm sorry that you understand my care and concern for you in a way that makes you feel helpless and rejected. And then maybe Mary would have been able to say, I feel so supported and loved when I know how much you care for me. All right, I know it wouldn't have gone quite like that. Any argument with a teenager, even with a family member, arguments get pretty convoluted sometimes, and they don't come off quite that easily. But you get the point, don't you? It's the actions that we do that prove our love. And sometimes even those actions need to be understood and clarified. In fact, it's certainly true that a lot of times we need to clarify our own actions to us. For example, my tablet turned sideways here on me. Sometimes we get to the point where all of the explaining and doing that we've done, and we come down to the fact that we only have something we have to say. We just have to say, I'm sorry. It gets to that point sometimes. A long time ago, there was a saying that maybe, I don't know where it was picked up from, but it was in a movie at one point, and it made bumper sticker slogans. Being in love means you don't have to say, I'm sorry. I don't think that's true. I think when you love somebody, we're often forced to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the way I treated you. I'm sorry that I didn't interpret and understand clearly what I was doing. I know that's true in our relationship to God. We often have to say, I'm sorry, God. I don't always keep your commandments. Please forgive me. Jesus, on the other hand, his deeds prove his love, and he never has to say, I'm sorry, because he always consistently does his Father's will. He did his Father's will when he was here on this earth. And so Jesus' deeds prove love. And you want to know what they are? Well, Jesus, when he's ministering on this earth, he had compassion. He saw a crowd that was wandering and lost like sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion on them, and so he began teaching them. He took them up on a hill. He fed them because it was too far to go into town to get anything to eat. He cared about people. He healed the sick people when they came to him. He forgave their sins. He raised the dead. He died on the cross. Jesus' deeds show his love. They're the proof of his love. In fact, Jesus' deeds are the proof of God's love. You see, God doesn't just say, I love you. You've heard this saying too, I'm sure. God doesn't just say, I love you. He sent the very best. He sent his own son in the flesh. That's how God shows his love for us. He sent his son to take on our flesh and to take on our sin, to carry it to the cross of Calvary and to die there for us in our place. That is the proof of God's love. And we summarize it quite easily, don't we? John 3:16. God loved the world so that he said, I love you? No. God loved the world so that he sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. God's love is proved by his actions. So our actions need to be remarkable too, like God's. God's actions were absolutely remarkable. So our actions need to be remarkable as well in the way we show love to other people. In our epistle lesson, I just read how St. Peter said, in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Always be ready to answer anybody who asks you, why are you doing that? When's the last time you had somebody ask you, why do you care so much for these people? People haven't asked me that all so often. And so that's one reason why our love for people must be remarkable. So that when people see it, they say, what's going on here? What are you doing? Why do you love these people so much? Why do you care about them? And then we have an opportunity, as St. Peter says, to step in and say, let me explain to you what God has done for me. And that's why I care for these people. You see, so our love must be remarkable so that people will ask. Our love must be remarkable also because God's love is remarkable. God's love for us is so outstanding that our love should mirror that. And that's the love that we show to the world so that they can begin to comprehend and understand God's love for them. That's what it means to be church. That's what it means to be a believer in this world. We're representing God's love to other people. And it's a remarkable love, so our love must be remarkable too. And that's the proof of the love, our action. Then we can explain God's love as well. In Romans 8, St. Paul wrote about God's love, and he said it this way. He said, what will separate us from the love of God? And then he said, I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I like to take that passage this way. You want to know God's love for you? Well, don't look at the things going on in your life. Don't look at death or struggles with life. Don't look at powers. Don't look at height. Don't look at angels or principalities. Those things don't tell you about God's love. What tells you about God's love is the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Look at Christ Jesus our Lord. Look at Jesus on the cross. Look at what Jesus did. His deeds prove His love. God's gift of His Son. His Son's gift of His life. His Son's gift of His body and His blood on the cross. Jesus' gift of His body and His blood in the bread and the wine of Holy Communion. That's what proves God's love. That's the remarkable love of God. That He did that for all those times when our actions betrayed our love. And all we could do was come to the point where we had to say, I'm sorry. Like we did this morning as we confessed our sins. And I got confused whether I was in a prayer or whether I was proclaiming. I'd say I'm sorry for that too. But that's what we said there this morning as we confessed our sins. God, I'm sorry. My actions don't always show my love for You. My actions sometimes don't follow Your command. And of course, God said, that's why I followed through with my actions and sent my Son on the cross to give His body and His blood. Not just on the cross, but also today in the bread and the wine that you receive so that you know your sins are forgiven and you have hope of life eternal with Him in heaven. And it's that hope that we have in Christ, risen from the dead, that gives us confidence in God's love. Because Christ is risen. All right. All right. Good. Thought we might have to do that one over again, but you came through. You know your cue. Chuck and Patty Colson. Does that name sound ring a bell? Chuck Colson was involved in the Watergate stuff, convicted, sent to prison for his role in what went on there in Nixon's cabinet. And his wife, Patty, started a prison fellowship ministry. And they go back into prisons all across the country. And they have something they call a Hope Day, Easter Hope events they have in prisons. And they particularly hold before the people what hope we have in Christ because He's risen from the dead. And they said people get through prison, or maybe they don't get through it, maybe they stay in prison and don't get out, but they are able to endure being in prison because of hope. Prisoners of war report the same thing. They get through a time of imprisonment because they have hope in getting back to their family, to their country, whatever it is. We have hope in Christ, and that gets us through this life. About the prison fellowship ministry, they said, when we remember that Jesus is risen and He is alive and that our story is not over yet, it can add an extra powerful element to these hope ministries, hope events. And that's what St. Paul said on the Areopagus. When the people said, what are you preaching about? What are you talking about? He said, our hope is in this one that God has sent to be the judge at the end time. And to give you assurance of that and to establish you in a hope, He raised that man, Jesus, from the dead. So His resurrection is connected and tied into and makes our hope solid and sure. And this is the hope that gets people through prison. And this is the hope that gets us through life. And it's on the basis of that hope that our actions are proof of God's love in this world. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will be with you in heart and mind. Amen. Let us pray. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, you bless and protect your people in a world where many false gods, known and unknown, are worshipped. Give your saints a clear and bold proclamation of Jesus Christ, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, your Son suffered on our behalf to win salvation for us. Grant that we may have the privilege not only of believing in him, but also of suffering for his sake. Lord, in your mercy, Lord of heaven and earth, you have given the Spirit of truth to dwell in us through holy baptism. Grant your Spirit's steadfast guidance that the feet of this congregation and its catechumens may not slip into sin and unbelief, but live always in praise of you before the world. Lord, in your mercy. Creator, you made from one man all the nations of the earth, and still you sustain us. Grant good leaders in every land who will seek peace and serve justice. Frustrate the causes of evil, violence, and oppression. Lord, in your mercy. Father in heaven, you have given us a mirror of your love in the vocation of mothers who nurture, guide, and raise their children in all things good. Bless them in their calling. Sustain them through weary and difficult times. Remember in compassion all who are barren and bring them comfort through the children of your church. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you promised not to abandon us in our need, nor leave us as orphans. Send forth your Spirit and work through us, your people, that the lonely, the poor, the homeless, and the travelers may rejoice in your presence and the power of your love. Lord, in your mercy, grant healing according to your will, and sustain in faith those for whom we pray, especially Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Robert Galabeas, Mary and Alfred Durson, Sandra of Avila, Dean Soberly, Barbara Hanvey, Scott Pepka, Bob Dittert, Don and Donna Tellner, Laura's Langerud, the family of Jeannie Price, and the family of Jeff Schaffner, and all others whom we bring before you in our thoughts. Lord, in your mercy, we give you thanks for the salvation and life you give us through Christ Jesus. You do not leave your people as orphans, but strengthen the penitent with body and blood of your Son. Help us to receive what you offer here for our good, that this Holy Communion may strengthen our faith and equip us for your service. Lord, in your mercy, all these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
Lift
up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, everlasting, almighty and everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your blessings and your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death, that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed. By his death, he has redeemed us from bondage to sin and death, and by his resurrection, he has delivered us into new life in him. Grant us to keep the feast in sincerity and truth, faithfully eating his body given into death and drinking his life's blood poured out for our salvation until we pass through death to the promised land of eternal life. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Take and drink, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
take and eat. This true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ given into death for your sin. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shed for the forgiveness of your sins. The eating and drinking of the holy body and the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with a believing heart will strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Amen. Go in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Welcome to the Lord's table. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of your sins. The eating and drinking of the holy body and the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with a believing heart will strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Amen. Go in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Welcome to the Lord's table. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of your sins. Eating and drinking of the holy body and the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with a bleeding heart will strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Amen. Go in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Anybody else? Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this life-giving gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen.